we'll just pray.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are, Lord God, what you've done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that had it not been for you, we wouldn't know where to be, Lord God. We wouldn't know what to do. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and that you're constantly revealing more and more to us that love, Lord God, that grace, Lord God, how you want us to do things, Lord God. You're constantly changing our perspectives, Lord God, to match yours. And Father, I just thank you that you've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, Lord God. You've placed on the inside of us, Father. And Lord, I thank you that today, by your Spirit, Lord God, we will be able to dig those things out, Lord. Through your word, Lord God, I thank you that your word is incorruptible seed, Lord God, and that it is falling on good ground today. Lord, I thank you that it will bring forth 100-fold, Lord God, what you wanted to bring, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, and it's funny, like, I love when the Holy Spirit just, like, he brings certain things out, themes out throughout the service. And it's funny, like, when Miles was standing up there, he was saying some things directly correlating with what I was going to talk about today. And it just amazes me every time, man, that God just constantly is communicating what he wants us to know, what he wants us to flow in, what he needs to change us, help us change in our hearts, in our souls. So the title today is Perspective, Perspective, Perspective. Lord gave me perspective, but I was like, I think I better say it three times so it stick. So, and it's really about the importance of perspective, because, you know, there are a lot of things vying to hold on to your perspective, to weigh your perspective, to change your perspective. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is it is the power of God unto righteousness, unto godliness. So that's the ultimate influencer for a godly perspective. You know, they got commandments and statutes and man-made things, but none of those things can change our hearts and give us a different perspective on life. That's the other thing of the gospel too. It's beautiful because it inches into every part of life. So if you're going through one thing over here, the gospel relates to that. The gospel was given to touch all areas of life. Somebody dies in your family, the gospel ministers to that. Somebody is sick in your family, the gospel ministers to that. So, like I said, that cross, man, is our perspective. Say that with me. The cross is my perspective. Hallelujah. Got here a little diagram for you guys. It says, and this is a question, you know, just ask yourself that question. You know, which tree am I feasting upon? You know, God had me look back in Genesis. And, you know, I was just thinking about this. I was like, man, why did Adam eat that tree? Like, he literally had a whole garden that God said was good and beautiful and precious to eat. Why did he eat that tree? And the funny thing too was, well, it's not really funny, but it's kind of messed up actually, is God gave him God's perspective. He was already feeding on the tree of life. Because God was sustaining Adam. Adam didn't want for anything. Adam wasn't up at night praying to God, "Lord, can you please give me some fruit to eat, Lord?" Like, he wasn't even focused on having a helpmate. God was like, "It's good for a man to have a helpmate. I'm going to give you that." So he was already engulfed. He was already in the presence of God each and every day. God was walking with Adam each and every day. So he was feasting upon the tree of life already. But God also wanted to give Adam a chance to make a decision. So the purpose, and that's the other thing too. It says in Genesis that everything that God created was good. So, you know, we look at that and we say, that's the bad tree, that's the good tree. God wasn't even thinking about that. Adam wasn't thinking about that because he couldn't even conceive good or bad. He only knew good.
Wow.
So the beauty of that is God is, he has spiritually replaced us back into that position. But our mindset has to focus on the tree of life. Who is the tree of life? Christ is the tree of life. And not focus and do things based upon the knowledge of good and evil. Because it robs us of life. Adam was focused on his purpose in God, literally. His purpose at the time was to go forth and name all of the animals and the plants and the trees and all that stuff and enjoy God. And he wasn't focused on himself. He wasn't focused. So that's the beauty of where we are, like I said. But this directly correlates with perspective, because when we focus on us, we have messed up perspective sometimes. Because we be messing up. When we focus on the failures of other people, it alters your perspective. When we focus on the negativity of this earth, it's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on a day-to-day basis. It's crazy stuff going on right now as we speak. If we focus on that, it alters our perspective of God. And you don't want something from the outside coming and distorting what God has placed on the inside of you. You don't want something from the outside coming in and distorting what God has placed on the inside of you. And that's the beauty, like I said, that's the beauty of this thing, the gospel. Because that's what sustains what God places on the inside of us. It's like a garden and having a border around it. You put a border around your garden because you don't want rabbits and squirrels and stuff coming and eating up all your stuff. Deers and all that stuff, they got this little spray stuff you can spray with. Spray that gospel. So, as I said, perspectives are weighed by influence. God gave me a picture, and it was like, in my mind, it was like, this really don't really do it justice, what it gave me, but Lord help me, God, it did what I could. But anyway, There are influences have weight to them, right? And with those weights, you know, when you got balloons, you don't want them to fly away, right? So with those, you get something to weigh those balloons down. And the balloons are like perspectives that come in our lives. And they're connected to something that's weighing them. They're connected to an influence. So you can have good perspective. You can have some bad perspectives. But that are weighed down by influences. So until you remove those certain influences out of your life, those certain things that are influencing you to have a perspective that's not supposed to go with the color scheme of this party.
Hello.
God gave you red balloons and you got some blue and green ones mixed in there with you. It's a yellow one. So, 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the Young's Literal Translation, it says, "Be not led astray. Evil communication corrupt good manners." Like I said, the perspective of the cross is powerful, but the weakness of our minds are the things that we have to reinforce by the gospel. So the more we consume that, the more we consume and look at and behold his beauty, the more we focus on what Christ has overcome in our lives. The fact that we have the victory through his cross is the very thing that becomes the weight that brings goodness into our lives, that brings peace into our lives, that brings prosperity into our lives. Like, God wants you to prosper. There's no prosperity gospel and you get a blessing, you get a blessing. We do, we get the blessings. He wants us to have all the blessings. For free. But it costed something. It costed Christ's blood. But free for us. Say, I got the free gift.
I received the free gift.
Because that's important too. God gave it. You still got to receive it. But, these are some verses that I pulled up, and just want you to listen to what it's saying to you. And I'll explain that as I finish. But God's perspective of you, it's important that you understand that God has a perspective of you, that he sees you a certain way, and that when you go in the Word of God, you see it the way he sees it. Because God makes it kind of plain in most of these verses. And these are just a few little verses. This plenty is, the Bible is chock full of love towards you. Let's just say that. Psalm 33:11, it says in the English Standard Version, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." So God was thinking about you in your mama's mama. And it was good plans. Luke 12:32, International Standard Version, it says, "Stop being afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." God wants to give you his kingdom. He wants his kingdom to flow out of us. He wants you to see miracles in your life. He wants you to walk in prosperity. He wants you to walk out of poverty, out of an impoverished mindset. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be pure. He's giving you all of that. He's giving you his righteousness. So the beauty of all of this is he wants you to, and he's giving it to you. He wants you to have it, and he gave it to you. How do you do that? Through the gospel. Jeremiah 29:11, and we all have heard this verse, I think, once or twice in our lives, if you ever been in the church. Amplified Version, it says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So, what does all of this mean? It means I don't have to walk around having an evil expectation. I don't have to walk around eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and basing situations and circumstances and placing those on God and saying, "This is God doing this to me." No. That's a stern no. You break your foot, that's not God punishing you. I'm sorry. You get a car accident, that's not God punishing you because you didn't read your Bible this morning. That is a lie. And as we, like I said, as we peer into this gospel, as we peer into this love of God, it debunks all of those misty thoughts and weirdness that people try to, in religiosity, try to place on us to make us believe that God is this evil, mean, raunchy, messed up person. Confused person. God ain't confused about how he feels about you.
Hey, say that.
God is not schizophrenic. Hey. He's not over here and then, you know, I'm gonna get you, boy. Nah. He's not choking you like you remember the Simpsons, Bart Simpson. Yeah. Yeah, he just... I remember the Simpsons, they were talking about Frosty chocolate milkshakes, and then like 3 years later, it's like, he choking them and stuff. God ain't like that. So as I said earlier, your perspective is the cross. Your perspective is the cross. Say, my perspective is the cross. And anything that happens after the cross is newness. Like I said, Jesus lived the life. He walked victoriously through the life. He overcame sin. He overcame the law. He lived through the law perfectly. And has given us this mantle of freedom. Then he died on the cross. Like I said, he died on the cross, the death we should have had. And then rose again. And it talks about that in Romans. When he rose again, we rose with him. And that's the whole purpose of baptism, is a declaration to yourself. God has given us all of these various different things to remind us. I ain't left you. I'm going to go to the dirt with you. I'm going to see you in your mess and love you still beyond the mess. I'm going to clean you up out of the mess. Now, the beautiful thing is, it's participation involved. That's where perspective comes in, because if we just think that it's just going to happen, you're going to be in the wrong perspective. Let's just say that. Because it's a process involved in this. You mature. Just like you don't come out your mama's womb ready to work a 9-to-5 job, you know what I'm saying? Wah! W-2s. Like, you ain't doing that. You ain't coming out your mama's womb just with a suit tie on. No. That was on Boss Baby. That wasn't on real life. But, like I said, that's the beautiful thing of this whole thing. Like I said, God is longing, he desires deeply to have that relationship with us, to grow us up in his word, to foster those things that he plants in us through his word. And to change our perspective. Hold on, I'm gonna switch mics out. Yeah, so that's the beauty of this whole thing, man, is we get the opportunity every day to change our perspective even more. We get the opportunity to spend time in his word. We get the opportunity to spend time in the spirit. And literally get to see God mold us into the same image as Christ so that we can see. Like I said, in the spirit, it's already done in the spirit. He's already transformed us by the spirit. Now, we, in this realm, in this physical body, adhere to what is in the spirit. But see, it works by love. All of this works by love. So, if we can try to adhere and do it in the hand of the flesh, it's going to be a struggle. But if we adhere to his love, that's the thing that melts us down. Makes us, it's like gold. You got to process that gold. They don't just get gold, find gold out of the ground. They process it first. They melt it down. They smelt all of the stuff out of it. And you get this pure, good, nice ring. He liked you, and he put a ring on it. Sister Beyonce. Nah, I'm playing. Your perspective is the cross. Your perspective is the cross. In the book of Romans, this is Romans 9 that we're gonna come from. Like prior to these verses that I'm gonna read, Paul is building a case for the Israelite, the Jewish church. The Jewish part of the church, because basically there were still people, Judaizers, that were still trying to say that, man, we ain't supposed to be mixing with no Gentiles, essentially. And that's opposite of the gospel. So Paul was showing two things. He was showing that he loves his countrymen, but the other side to that is he loves the Gentiles as much, just like God does. And God can pull and call and show mercy to whomever he pleases. So it's not a thing of, this guy is over here and this guy is over here. He's like, nah, we gonna mesh all this together. This is one new man right now. So that's the beauty. That's one of the other beauties of the cross. Our perspective is the cross, because it took a lot for us to get put in this as Gentiles. So Romans 9:30-33 says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, who did not seek salvation and a right relationship with God, nevertheless obtain righteousness. That is the righteousness which is produced by faith. So righteousness is produced by faith. Faith is produced by love, by grace. So that's how we got into this thing. That's how they got into this thing. Because you'll read further on. Whereas Israel, though always pursuing the law of righteousness, did not succeed in fulfilling the law. And why not? Because it was not by faith that they pursued it. So it's possible to do this thing. It's possible to do this thing, but you ain't gonna do this thing. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense? It's possible to do a lot of stuff, but if it ain't coming from a place of faith in God and his promise,
that's it. Come on, that's it. Come on. That's it. That's it right there. Yeah.
So, because it was not by faith that they pursued it, but as though it were by works, relying on the merit of their works instead of their faith. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. So what you saw in there was, you know, man, that was the whole Pharisee thing. They murdered Christ instead of uplifting him. Like, it takes you that far. Pride can take you that far. That perspective of the Bible calls ungodly zeal. Even though you're pursuing righteousness. That perspective of ungodly zeal will cause you to murder somebody that's innocent. Somebody that is righteous. The word is a sword, is what the Bible said. But the word can be a sword used against the people. Or for the people. You like that? So they stumbled over the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. And as it is written, and forever remains written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So they were offended. Hey, if you're not offending people with the gospel, man, you ain't preaching the gospel. Because the gospel is mad offensive. Oh, Jack. The gospel is mad offensive to every religious crap, flesh crap out there. Because it doesn't require anything from us to make it happen. He made it happen.
Yay! Thank you, Lord.
He fought the battle and won the war. And then it took you, old dirty ratchet you, and put you up there and said, righteous, holy. He pronounced beauty on you. He washed you in his blood. Cleansed you. He purified. He put you into that fire. And drew out all of that mess, all of that iron and magnesium and all those oxides. That got blood. It made you pure gold in Christ Jesus. So, and he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed.
Come on. I guarantee that's all.
Come on. Hey. That's the seal of approval right there. That's like him signing his name on the check. He signed the check. I don't take that thing to the bank, man. I'll be sitting on that check. You know when somebody, you sign a check to somebody, they wait till like next week or something. Man, put that check in the thing, man. So I know. Goodness gracious. I'm holding on to the check, man. You got oh, Lord. Leverage your life on him.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do. We're not called to walk in pride and think that we got it all together. No. If God loved you while you was yet a sinner, how much more? What does that mean in the Bible? I loved you while you was yet a sinner, now do it better. No. I'm going to help you walk freely in grace. I'm going to help you be the man or the woman that I've called you to be. I'm going to help you walk as a king and a priest. You're royal now. No longer are you just little old, you don't have to have that perspective. I'm little old for me. Oh man, here comes some other stuff. Leverage your life on him. Says this in Jeremiah 23:6. King James Bible. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, The Lord our righteousness. A couple of things I'm going to say right there. So, in that previous verse that I said in Romans 9, it calls us, we're descendants of Abraham. So he said, it ain't just that you, his bloodline that makes you a descendant of Abraham. So you don't just get the blessing because you a Jew. You're a descendant of Abraham through faith.
Yeah, come on now.
Hey.
Therefore, it's talking about you too right there. Jesus was the Lion of Judah in the Bible, meaning he was part of the tribe of Judah. He was the king of Judah, in a sense. So, you shall be saved. You're part of Israel. You were saved. And the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord, Jesus, is our righteousness. Everything tied to kingdom living, kingdomship, kingdom is tied to Jesus. And you tied to Jesus too. That's what this whole thing is about, man. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's talking about just, that verse specifically was talking about, like, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear.
Yeah.
But that, I take that verse a step further, man. He wants you to have it all. Not just physical stuff. He wants you to have it all. Peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have love. All of that. He wants you to have a healthy family. He wants you to have a healthy body. And that's the other beautiful thing too. He's giving it to you, but he's also giving you authority over it. Over these things that he wants you to have. Like here, balls in your court. But I'm going to help you. See, that's what the other thing people be getting misconstrued. They say, balls in my court, I got to do this. No. Balls in my court, and I'm going to give you the strength to do it. He's the joints and the muscles in your legs to help you even jump. Hallelujah. Leverage your life on him. And that's despite, so that's the perspective that we have to come with. And the perspective is, it's all of us with you, Lord. Paul said, like, man, if none of this is valid, then we've been wasting our time. If none of, why get baptized? Why get persecuted for this? If it's invalid. It's valid, y'all. He already sealed it with a promise. What did he say? He sealed it with a promise right here. He said, and he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed. In his expectations. It ain't even your expectations that you expected. He puts those thoughts in us and causes us to walk freely and beautifully in his walk. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, like I said, there are circumstances, there are people, there are thought processes, there's music, there's all of these various things that want to tell you, I believe in Jesus. All of these things that want to change that perspective, put new perspectives in there, and want to mix some balloons in your red balloon mix to make you think, make you believe opposite of what the gospel has already told you. There's songs, there's music, there's people that want you to live depressed. They want you to feel pressed. They want you to feel lost. When God has already pronounced that you got a daddy, that you have help, that you aren't facing the enemy on your own. The enemy is defeated, matter of fact. So you already got a leg up on the enemy. Like, everything in the world wants to empower Satan and the demons and all that stuff, but it's crazy because it's a ruse. It's fake. It's fluff. I like watching the nature shows and stuff on Netflix. It was this one particular one that I was looking at. It was like this snake that it doesn't have fangs and venom and all that stuff. So it's like really a weak snake. And it's easy prey basically for any other predator or animal. So this snake, it flattens itself out to make itself look bigger to try to, that's his first line of defense, to try to scare the whatever the animal is that's trying to get him. And if that don't work, then he just plays dead and he's doing all this and rolling all around the ground. He plays dead. So that's his defense mechanism, but that's what the enemy reminds me of. It's like he does all of this stuff to try to make himself look puffed up. He people make movies about called Devil, and you got a show called Lucifer, and this is like all this stupid stuff to try to make himself valid.
That's so good.
But in the end, he's dead. He rolling around really, and when like I said, when you resist the devil, he shall flee. That's the part where you get to rolling around and playing, he's trying to grab your attention. That's perfect. So you are high above anything that the enemy, any attack that the enemy wants to place on your perspective to make you think otherwise towards God. So, like I said, there's nothing that. And so this particular verse, Psalm 94, and this is 1 through 23. It's a beautiful allegory of everything that I've talked about today. It kind of talks along the lines of how unpressed and unbothered we should be when it comes to the enemy. Because God is great. And what he's done, the victory that we have through the cross is greater than anything that the enemy can muster up and try to throw at us. Enemy trying to throw snowballs in 100 degree weather, it's like,
ain't gonna work.
It's gonna melt. But if I'm scared, no, don't hit me. Nah, stand firm and know anything that he just throwing smoke, and it may look like a big glorious smoke cloud, a big scary smoke cloud, but it's just smoke. You can just walk straight through it because it dissipates. Psalm 94, 1 through 23, and then I'm going to read it as fast as I can. Oh Lord God, this is David. Oh Lord God, you to whom vengeance belongs. Oh God, you to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth in judgment. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Give to the proud a fitting compensation. See, the enemy is proud. Satan's proud. He know he defeated, but he still thinks he got a say in this. So God has a compensation for the enemy. It's called hell. Hell wasn't created for you. Hell was created for Satan and the demons. Oh Lord, how long will the wicked rejoice in triumph? They pour out words. So, you know, the enemy like to use people to use those things to try to get at you and take away from what God has already placed in you. How long will the wicked rejoice in triumph? They pour out words speaking arrogant things. All who do evil boast proud. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict and abuse your heritage. They kill the widow and the alien and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob Israel notice it. Consider thoughtfully, you senseless. So this is him still talking. He's talking to us now. Consider thoughtfully, you senseless and stupid ones among the people, and you dull-minded fools, when will you become wise and understand?
So he's talking to people that are unawares. They're unaware of, man, God is for you and fighting for you. He's fighting a battle for you. He who has made the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who instructs the nations, does he not rebuke and punish? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of a man, that they are mere, that they are a mere breath, vain, empty, futile. Blessed with wisdom and prosperity is the man whom you discipline and instruct, and whom you teach from your law, from your word, from your Bible, from your law, that you may grant him power to calm himself and find peace in the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked and ungodly. There were a lot of things that was just said in that, but for one, God gives us a track to live on. But like I said, the way of the wicked is broad, and a lot of people fall in it. But the narrow path is Christ, and the gospel keeps us on the narrow path. Christ himself is walking with us. The Spirit of God here with us. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Look this way. This way. Even when you go this way, you walking over here. Focus. And he's showing you that you're going to be blessed with wisdom and prosperity, because God is disciplining us and instructing us and teaching us all of this by his love. I repeat, all of this is by his love. He's not treating you and teaching you and beating you all in the same instance. God ain't trying to bust your head, get you right. That would be contrary to the gospel. That'd be contrary to the cross. Why am I going to beat you upside your head when I already did that to my son? And it wasn't even God that did it. It was us that did it. So that's an even deeper depth of love. Because it's like the same people that killed Jesus, us, is the same. It's the same people that he's loving. Wow. That you may grant him power to calm himself and find peace in the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked and ungodly. So, adversity, craziness, sicknesses, lies, fights, all of these things trying to circle around you and make you feel jogged, just messed up. I can't handle this. You may grant him power to calm himself and find peace. God is giving us power by his Spirit through his gospel. It says the gospel is the power of God unto righteousness. So righteousness is uprightness. I can stand upright when somebody comes and smashes me in my face with this lie, with this defamation about my character, with this, you know, whatever it may be. You can know that I'm a child of God. He paid a price for me. And he redeemed me already before I even went through anything in this life. For the Lord will not abandon his people. Say it with me. For the Lord will not, will not, will not abandon his people. Nor will he abandon his inheritance. You're his inheritance. The rich young ruler came to the guy, he's like, what can I do to get this inheritance? Nothing. But I'm going to throw you a bone. Do all of these things. You done all these things, you said? Go give away all your stuff to the poor.
Ooh. Ooh.
I can't handle it, Lord. I got to go. He's already given you the inheritance, but it's not through you. Not through the blood. It's not through flesh. Nor will he abandon his inheritance, for judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. That's another thing. You'll have good judgment when following him. How they gonna lead you down the path of unrighteousness? He's not gonna say, go kill that person now. Go on, go walk in traffic. No. God is for us. And all the upright in heart will follow. Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will take a stand for me against those who do wickedness? If the Lord had not been my help, this is David attesting. The Lord had not been my help. I think we could all say that. If the Lord had not been my help, the Lord had not been my help, I would soon have dwelt in the land of silence. We talking about death. And that's not just physical death. That's spiritual death. That's emotional death. All of that. If I say my foot has slipped, your compassion... Listen. If I say my foot has slipped, your compassion and loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts delight me. These are all things that we get to experience in a relationship with him. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts delight me. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you? One which frames and devises mischief by decree. So that's what I just said. He ain't going to lead you down no path of mischief and craziness. Under the sacred name of the law, they band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. So this is also prophesying about what happens to Jesus. They banded themselves together and condemned a righteous man. So that's the other part to that. Guys, you should expect that to come. It said, if you're not higher than the master, you're going to get persecuted for believing the gospel. It said that's one of the expectations, but your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts delight me. His spirit is on the inside of us, comforting us every day. Gotta listen. There's, like I said, there's an experience in this with humbleness and willingness to adhere. He has turned back there, and this is the victory that you get to have. But the Lord has become my high tower in defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has turned back their own wickedness upon them, and will destroy them by means of their own evil. What goes around comes around for our enemies. The Lord And it takes a step further. The Lord our God will wipe them out. So, in regards to perspective, there's a perspective of knowing who God is, who He says you are, and believing it, and seeing it work, and then resting. It's really rest this entire process. Because it's not, like I said, it's not you doing anything to try to make stuff work in your favor. He's already worked it in your favor. You can have an expected end. In regards to perspective, I got a picture of some flowers up here. Now, to somebody that has really bad allergies, that's death. But to somebody that doesn't have allergies, that's beautiful. All those colors, and it's just lovely. Smells right, smells, all of that. It's lovely. So I just leave y'all with this thought. Y'all not allergic to God.
Facebook.
You're not allergic to God. You have nothing to fear from God. He's on your team. Like clarity. You were allergic to God. You thought you were. It's all a mental thing.
Come on.
But now you can go jumping through the flowers, you know? And that's all I got today.
You know what?
Hallelujah. 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 It's a beautiful thing, man, to know. It's a beautiful thing to know that God is for us and never against us. I'm going to do communion real quick. Go ahead and do communion. And while he's passing that out, that's another gift that God has given us.